the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, if you'll look there with me, the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. Isaiah 54. I'm going to read just these three verses to get started here this morning. We've been talking about vision, and I just want to take this just a step further today, and asking the Lord to give to every one of you a vision from God, a vision from the Lord. Isaiah 54, verses 1, 2, and 3. Sing, O barren, thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Now, I just want to review just a little bit. Last week, about half of the message last Sunday was after 12 noon. And I know that something happens at 12 noon in church. Everybody shifts into lunch mode, and half of what you say is heard, and the other half is just, I don't know what happens to it. But because of the way the service went last Sunday morning, about half of the message was at the 12 o'clock hour and beyond. And so I just want to take a moment just to kind of go back and review. We talked about that scripture from the book of Joel and how that not only with the outpouring of Pentecost was there this wonderful gift that was given, the power of the Holy Ghost that was given to the church that empowered the church to do what the Lord has called us to do, and that is to reach the world. We don't have the ability or the power to do that except by the power of the Spirit of God. And so his power was poured out so that we would have a super endowment of power to reach our world. Amen. But then when Peter stood up that day to explain what was going on the day of Pentecost, he said, "You think everyone here is drunk, but they're not drunk. Saying this is the ninth hour of the day." Then he made reference to the prophecy of Joel, where it talks about your young women would prophesy, your old men would dream dreams, your young men would see visions. Those three terms, which all were speaking about, along with the outpouring of the Spirit, was going to be this understanding that God was going to reveal himself. And not only would he reveal himself, but he would reveal his purpose and his plan and how that he works. So there was this element of the supernatural that God has promised that would be for all ages, everyone that would seek the Lord, and that God would begin to unveil his plan for them. God would begin to reveal to them what he wants to do. And from that, we drew the conclusion. And I believe it's a very important and it's a very biblical conclusion. And that is that God's plan for your life is important. It is specific to you. It is a part of your calling. And you need to seek after that. If you're a teenager, if you're in your 20s, if you're in your 40s, if you're in your 60s, if you're in your 80s, it really doesn't make any difference. Wherever you are in your life, God's plan and vision is just as important today as it has ever been. So when we talk about vision, we're talking about this day forward. What does God want to do? How does God want to work in your life? How does he want to reveal himself for you? Well, today I want to talk about that vision will always beget a venture or action. Something that you will do. Vision is not just something to think about or dream about. Vision always motivates us to action. Amen? It motivates us to
to do something. It always looks into the future. It always helps us to see what God wants to do, how His plan can be revealed in your life. Now, God is not going to reveal every step of the way to you. He never has worked that way. He won't reveal to you every bend in the road, every bump in the road. He just reveals to you what His purpose is for your life and for your future. And how He gets you to that point is faith and trusting Him to do it. He works out all the details and gets you through all the different struggles and the problems. But if you'll trust Him and follow Him, you'll get to that place that God has for you. Amen. And you'll be able to complete what He is calling you to do. Amen. Vision always is a motivator. It's always something that stirs your heart, stirs your mind, causes you want to move forward toward what God is calling you to do. Vision always narrows your focus. Instead of this broad things that need to be done or could be done, your vision, because you hear the voice of the Lord and God deals with your heart, it narrows your focus and helps you to see, this is specifically what God has created me to be, created me to do. I'm not you, you're not me, we're all individuals. We all have different gifts and callings and talents. So a vision will narrow your focus so that you can really accomplish what it is that God is calling you to do. Sad to say, a lot of Christians are just satisfied just to kind of live out their days. And I'm just okay with the way my life is going. But there are some, I believe that there are some that are right here listening to me this morning, that way down in the depths of your heart and your spirit, you know that God has His finger on you. You know that God wants to use you, whether you're 20, 40, 60, 80, it doesn't make any difference. You'll find, if you'll study the scripture, you'll be really amazed at how God uses old people. It's wonderful. When you go through the scripture and you see all the wonderful ways that God put His hand upon what we would consider people old and maybe elderly and finished and washed up and no future, but God just puts His hand upon people and uses them, and so can He use you. And He desires to do just that. Vision will always narrow your vision. Vision will always propel you forward. It always pushes you to do something. Do something about this. Move forward in the thing that God has put upon your heart. Now, the Apostle Paul, he had an experience where he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he was just as intent and full of zeal and fire to destroy the church. But after that encounter with Jesus, everything has changed. He so turned around that the very thing that he hated, he now defends and he fights for. The very thing he was trying to destroy, now he becomes the chief proponent of it, to try to build it up. His vision from the Lord changed his life, changed his direction. And that was what caused him to be able to go through all the things that he went through, the beatings, the suffering, the shipwrecks, almost drowning, and all the mistreatment and the sufferings that he went through. He was able to go through all those things because he did not forget about that vision. Remember there when he stood before Agrippa and he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I heard from God. I met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and now I have lived out the days of my life fulfilling what the Lord called me to be and called me to do. So your vision can even change the whole direction of your life. It can give you a whole new sense of direction and purpose. It can put you on a pathway that you didn't plan for, but it is God that is at work, and He can give to you a heavenly vision. Amen. Now, last week we also gave you a few suggestions from the book of Habakkuk and from the prophet Habakkuk, telling you basically what you need to do. If you want to hear from God, here's some steps of action that you can take. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. The person that wants to hear from God and receive a vision from the Lord will separate himself from everyone else and will wait before God and will trust God to speak to them. And then he said, I'm going to watch to see what he will say unto me. If you want to hear from God, then you're going to have to close out all the other voices. You're going to have to separate yourself from what the crowd is doing and everybody else is doing. You have to get alone. You have to wait before the Lord and watch before the presence of the Lord and be attentive unto the voice of the Lord. You can't be a part of the crowd of what everyone else is doing and expect that you're going to hear the voice of the Lord. So you have to separate yourself, and then you have to watch and listen and wait for God to reveal himself, to speak to you, and he will. Then the prophet says, write the vision. That's in verse 2. Write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. When God begins to talk to you and speak to you and deal with your heart about the things he wants to do this week, this month, next year, 10 years down the road, write it down. Amen. Write it down. Write it down. Begin to make notes of those things that God deals with your heart. When you not only hear his voice, but you write those things down that God is speaking to your heart, it will have a lasting impact upon your life and your future. And then he says, run with the vision. That's the fourth thing. That he may run that readeth it. That person, that we would be able then to make that vision become a reality. That you move forward. You begin to take action with those things that God. You say, I don't know what to do. Well, all you need to know is what is the next step. You just know what God is wanting to do, where he wants you to be, what he's calling you to do, the ministry or whatever calling or purpose that he has for you. You may not know all the ways you're going to get there, but just take the next step in the right direction to seek the Lord and to trust the Lord and that he will reveal himself to you. Write the vision, then run with the vision. Make it a reality. Take action to do what he's calling you to do. And then the last word from the prophet Habakkuk is make sure that you are doing it in his good timing. You can do the right thing in the wrong time. So you need to make sure that you're in tune with the voice of the Lord and you understand what it is that he's wanting to do and when he wants to do it. So I thought those were some wonderful suggestions or direction there from the prophet Habakkuk on what to do if you want to hear the voice of the Lord and you want to really get a hold of the vision that is from the Lord. Now, I read to you the text from the book of Isaiah 54, primarily verses 2 and 3. And William Carey, he was the father, and he's known as the father of modern missions. He lived in an era in the Christian church in the late 1700s when the church at that time believed that evangelism, reaching out to the lost, I know this is hard for us to comprehend, but they believed that that was only in the days of the disciples. That didn't apply to them at that particular time. They didn't believe that it did. So William Carey read the scriptures as just a young boy, studied the Word of God, and all that he could see in the pages of the scripture was the call of God to reach out to people that were lost. Everywhere that he read, when he read the scriptures, it was such a burden on his heart as a young man and a young preacher that he began to do everything that he could to learn about how he would be able to take the gospel. He didn't have other missionaries to pattern after, so he read about explorers. He read about explorers that went to different nations and traveled because he wanted to travel, but he didn't want to sell his merchandise. He wanted to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't have missionaries as an example, and so he stood up to preach from this exact text in Isaiah 54, where it says, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen the cords, strengthen the stakes, for thou shalt bring forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. He was talking about growth, expansion. Strengthen the stakes. Expand the cords. Provide an opportunity for growth and expansion. He was preaching to them in the name of his sermon, which now to us is famous, but he didn't get much attention that day. He preached that sermon as a young preacher. The name of his sermon was Expect Great Things from God, Attempt Great Things for God. And I've read about it for years, and I know that it's a famous message that literally propelled the church toward reaching the world for Jesus Christ. But that day that he preached it, there were some of the elders that said to him, young man, sit down. Sit down, young man. If God wants to reach the heathen, he can certainly do it without us. Sit down, young man. You don't have anything to say. But it was in his heart. It was such a burden upon Carey's heart that as a humble cobbler making things out of leather, shoes and repairing shoes, and that was his task. It was his daily job. That he cut him out a map out of leather and tacked it to the wall. And every day as he worked on the shoes and worked on the different leather repair that he was doing there, he was watching and looking. He was constantly looking at that map of the world that he'd made out of leather, because God had burned into his heart a vision as a young boy that he was to reach the heathen. And he couldn't get away from that. He studied the Bible. Preached the gospel, even though they tried to sit him down and quiet him, even though they tried to stop him from doing the things that he did. One day he embarked on the journey as a young man who had studied the Bible for years, who had learned several languages on his own, so that he could go to these. He'd prepared himself in every way possible because God had so burned this vision in his heart. Praise God. He went to India. God used him there. There's still a seminary and a Bible college there in Calcutta that was started by Carey in the early 1800s. Still a thriving ministry. He broke the ground in India for missionary works all over the nation. God used William Carey as the father of modern missions. And now there have been hundreds and thousands of people that have followed in his steps because he had a vision to do something that God had put in his heart. You see, all vision is born out of a need or out of a burden. All vision comes from need or a burden. Oftentimes, you may have a vision from the Lord and you're misunderstood by other people, just like Carey was. But God has put this burden upon your heart and he wants you to follow through with whatever that might be. God allows you to see the need. He puts his burden upon your heart. He stirs you and he wants you to run with it. He wants you to make your vision a venture. He wants you to make your vision and turn it into action and activity and moving forward to fulfill the thing that God has put upon your heart. Now let's go to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah was one of the young people stolen away into captivity. And down in captivity, he is given this responsibility, an honored job, an honored task to be the cupbearer for the king. This was a very important task and a very, he was very honored to have this task. But I want you to read this with me. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1, the words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. This was the winter palace for the king, the king of Babylon. He was there with the king. He was a part of the king's entourage, and he was there to protect the king. He was the king's cupbearer, trusted cupbearer. Verse 2, then Hanina, one of the brethren, came. He and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped and which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. That even though he was in this honored position in Babylon, he didn't lose sight of who he was and where he came from and the thing that meant the most to him, and that was his homeland, Jerusalem, the temple, and worshiping the true and the living God. Those were the things that were really upon his heart, the most important things to him, more than his job, more than this honored position that he had been given. So when he hears these young men speaking in Hebrew, he calls them to the side and says, "Tell me, what is going on in Jerusalem? What's happening down there in our homeland?" And they said, "The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Verse 4, it says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Even to the point that in the next chapter, he goes in before the king as the cupbearer, and the king immediately notices his countenance, that he's grieving, that he's sad. The king asks him about it. No doubt Nehemiah thought, "I'm going to lose my head right here for this," but he goes ahead and tells him what's happening, what has befallen his brethren, what is going on down in Jerusalem, how the walls are burned with fire, how the city is destroyed, and how that the remnant that's left there is in terrible distress. And he's been weeping and crying for days. He's been fasting and crying and praying for days now, and he can't hide it. It's on his face. It's on his countenance. It's obvious what's going on in his life. And he's grieving. Do you know that every vision comes from a burden? Every vision comes from a burden. Everything that God begins to speak to your heart about what he wants to do, he first of all will break your heart with it. He first will stir you up and cause you to see the need, and it will become personal and real to you. And you'll wonder, "Lord, what can I do about this? Something has to be done to minister to this situation or to this circumstance." You want a vision from the Lord? Well, God can touch your heart and even break your heart and burden your heart for some situation, some need, some circumstance. And that will motivate you then to move forward, to do something about it, to make that vision become a reality. It all begins with a burden, the burden of your heart. I don't know how many, I think it was 28 times that Brother Huff traveled into Romania throughout his lifetime in ministry. It started with a visit, a political visit with some other politicians, more of an observation of what was going on there. But when Brother Huff saw the church, when he saw the people that were suffering, what they were going through, he saw the churches that were suffering and the people that were being persecuted in Romania, it got a hold of his heart. And that drove him and motivated him to go 28 times into that nation. Go back. Again and again and again and again. And he went to encourage the brethren. He went to help the church. He went with a burden on his heart to minister to those people. It all starts with a burden. It all starts with something that really breaks your heart and concerns you. So you have to live outside of yourself. You can't be consumed with your own wishes and your desires. If you want to be a person of vision, it has to start with your willingness to say, "Okay, Lord, what is it you want me to do about this? How can I do it? What can I do?" It was just this next month we celebrate 1 year at the homeless shelter here being reopened. And it was less than 2 years ago that I drove by on 4th Street one day and I saw the big for sale sign and I just thought, "This ain't right. This can't be. They're going to sell this property, this building. This could be. This is perfect for this kind of a ministry to people that are in need. This is perfect." Thankfully, there were other people who took this on their heart. And we got together and began to work toward this project. And now, for 1 year, it's been a reality. Now, there's something like 20 people that are residents there right at this particular time. And we're helping people. We're touching people. Some are being saved. Lives are being changed for the glory of God. And it all starts with a burden. All starts with a vision and a burden from the Lord. Every ministry really comes out of a burden. The missions conference that we have every year here at the church, it's not just another event that we have just to have something to do. No, we have a specific goal in mind, a purpose in mind, and primarily that is, I saw so many missionaries who were so beaten down and so discouraged because they couldn't get the funds together to get to their calling, to their field. And I can't tell you the numbers of missionaries that have talked to me over the years and have said, you know, I just feel like giving up. I can't. When I go to churches, they're not interested and they don't want to help us. And we know that God has called us. I wanted there to be an opportunity for us to minister to them. And so from a burden that I saw and others saw, and you as a church as well have now taken this burden on your heart, and you can see the impact of it. You can see missionaries that walk in the door of this building and they feel like, this is a place where I'm wanted. This is a place where I'm welcomed. This is a place where I'm going to be blessed this week. And God has worked over the years in some amazing ways, and I don't even have the time to tell many of the accounts and stories of the ways that God has used just those 3 days to bless and to provide supernaturally for missions and missions projects, and to encourage those that are attempting to get to the mission field. Let me tell you, every vision begins with a burden. Every vision begins with a burden. We're celebrating 110 years here at our church, but over the years, God has given to different leaders and pastors a burden for the church. And God has used the church because He would burden the hearts of people. And today we have what we have. We have moved in the direction that we have. We are accomplishing many of the things that we do simply because people have had a burden for it. They saw the value of it. You see, every vision is really, it's a solution to a problem. God begins to talk to you and deal with you about the need, the burden, the problem. So this morning, I'd like to ask you the question, what is it that just gets a hold of your heart? What is it that grips your heart? What is it that stirs you up? What is it that burdens your heart today? Think about it. What is it that really gets a hold of your heart and burdens your heart? That is the seed of the vision that God wants to fulfill in your life. That's the beginning of it. When you begin, you see the need and you feel the burden, and your heart is gripped by this need, and you want to do something about it. And God gives to you a vision of something, some way to see this situation resolved. Then you move forward. And your vision then becomes a venture. It becomes action. It becomes a reality because you obey God and you listen to the voice of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Don't ever throw cold water on somebody's vision. Like when the ladies came to me with their interest in, you know, a prayer shawl ministry that I'd never heard of. And I just said, okay, well, all right. Sounds okay to me. I didn't have the vision for it. They had the vision for it. These ladies had the vision for it. I didn't know what it could do or what it would be, but now there have been hundreds of those prayer shawls anointed and prayed for and sent out to various places all over this country. And the testimony after testimony of people that have let us know how it helped them and through a very difficult time and encouraged them and blessed their life. And God used those efforts, that vision that was born in the heart of those ladies. Praise God. Every vision starts with a burden. Every vision sees a problem, a need that can only be resolved as we obey the voice of God and we do what He is calling us to do. Praise God. So see the vision. You might be misunderstood Allow God to put this vision into your heart of what he wants to do and how that he wants to work. Do you think that God is through with you or with me? Oh, no. I said last week, the day you die, the day you take your last breath in this world, that's when God's through. But not until. God wants to use you. God has a plan. He wants to fulfill that plan in you. And it's the pathway of the greatest joy that you could ever experience, living out those things that God puts on your heart. Praise God. So along with William Carey, I say, let's enlarge the place of thy tent. Amen. Let's stretch forth the curtains of our habitation. Let's lengthen the cords. Let's strengthen the stakes. Let's make preparation. Let's stretch ourselves to be more than we have ever been. Individually, as families and as a church body right here. Let's believe God. Lord, we don't know what the future holds, but I know there are many needs, many concerns. And if every man and woman, if every young person would just get a hold of a vision from God and turn that vision into activity, into a venture, move forward and begin to do what the Lord has put on your heart to do and move in the direction of fulfilling his calling and his purpose, whatever that might be. And don't let the enemy or anyone hinder you or stop you. If you hear from God, let that be the thing that propels you forward, no matter what people say. Amen. That's how the church advances. That's how the church has always advanced. The church moves forward, and here we are in the last days. It's such a dark, dark time in our world. Has there ever been a time it's more important for us to hear the voice of God and to know that he's got the solution? Every vision is a solution to a problem. Every vision is a solution to a problem. So instead of just saying, look at that mess and look at that problem and cursing the darkness, what about the fact that God might want to use you to step up and do something about what's going on around you and in our world? Amen. I want to hear his voice. I want to wait on the tower. I want to hear the voice of God. And I want to move forward. And I want to run with the vision when he gives it. Amen. I want to move forward with it and see God work in a wonderful way. Praise God. Father, thank you. I know, Lord, that you're trying to speak to us and deal with us, Lord. There are so many people in need. There is such a vast, vast opportunity for ministry everywhere. Not just pulpit ministry, but just ministry, Lord, to reach people for Jesus Christ, to touch the lives of people. Lord, give to us the ability, the capacity to see what you see, to see people as you see them, to carry the burden, Lord. Let this burden, Lord, so grip our hearts that we cannot let go of it, but Lord, that we are moved with compassion and we're propelled forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.